Okay, we're starting here three lines down on the top of Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan, Ezehu Meyun. What is this Meyun? Amra, Efshi Beploni Bali, Efshi Bekidushin Shekidshuni Imi Vachi. So if she says, I'm not interested in this individual who's my husband, I'm not really interested, I don't want the Kiddushin that my brother and my mother put into place for me. So those are the pretty straightforward types of miyun. Now the Gemara is going to move into more complex types of miyun, which is yeter akein. Even more than that. Even more than that means that even with less of a dismissal of the husband, it's enough to generate miyun. So over here we have the miyun, which is she directly says, I don't want the kiddushin. I don't want this marriage that they arranged for me. Over here, it's a little more nuanced, which is Amri Yehuda, afilu yoshevet bapiryon. Even if she's sitting in, call it a throne of some sort, a chair, it was the equivalent of the carriages, the royal carriages, but without the wheels on them. They had the bars that people carried on them. So here she's being carried to the husband's or her future husband's house in an apirion, which is supplied by him, to bring her to the wedding. So she's yeshiva apirion v'lechet mi beit avi lebeit bala. She's going from her father's house to her future husband's house. And she says, Efshiba Ploni Bali, not really interested in this guy. Zeu Meun. That is still considered Meun. And what's the Chiddush here? As Rashi says, the Chiddush is that you would think the fact that if she really didn't want this, all she has to do is step off. She can get off the chair and go back home. Meantime, she just sits there and says, you know, take me for a ride, but she's still saying Efshi. So that's the Chiddush here, that despite the fact that she has an option just to walk away and doesn't, she simply just says the Efshiba Bali, it still works, even though there's a certain amount of ceremonial items going on here that seem to indicate that she's on her way to the marriage. Yetra Kain, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, even another more nuanced idea, which is Afila Yuarchim Misubim Bebeit Balo. Guests were sitting at her husband's house. Vio Medit Umashkelehem. And she is servicing them. She's pouring drinks for them. She's taking care of them. From Ralahem, and she says to them, Efshiba Ploni Bali, I'm not so interested in my husband. I really don't want this marriage or this husband. That's still considered to be Meon. Again, the Chiddush over here is, number one, no Beit Din. She's doing this in front of the guests. And number two is, he's not there. He's not around, and she's in Beit Bala, right? And she's servicing these guests, and the guests don't say anything. Meaning that this is not a public declaration of any sort, because it's done amongst the guests. The guests aren't necessarily going out to spread this information. And therefore, maybe it's a private statement rather than a public declaration. Nevertheless, that is still considered to be a meyun. Yeter al-kein, Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu shigra balo itzel chenvani. Even if her husband sent her out to the chenvani, and then the other possibility here in the girsa, which the Bach enters, is that it's Rabbi Yehuda, because all two cases were yeter alkein Rabbi Yehuda, so consistently this would also be yeter alkein amar Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu shigra balo itzel chenvani. Even if he sent her out to the storekeeper, levilo chefetz mishlo, to bring him something that was his in the storekeeper's inventory. Vamra, Efshiba Ploni Bali, tells the Chenvani that, I'm not so interested in this husband, I don't want this husband. In the Chameyun Gadol Mizeh. There's no bigger Meyun than that. I mean, I would think there are bigger ways, but the idea being that even in that situation, it's considered to be Meyun, because number one, she's only doing it with one individual, this Chenvani, he's the only one who's hearing her. Number two is, you could argue, the only reason she's saying this is because her husband's making her do this hard work, or run out to the store, or bring something heavy back. So you could just say that she's disgruntled at this time, that's why she's saying it. So we could attribute it to ulterior motives, yet we still deem it to be Meyun, that she doesn't want her husband, and that's considered to be Meyun. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer Koti no Kot. So this is in our Mishnah, this addresses some of your issue, which is that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says that there is some sort of minimum age here, which is that we don't assume that a Ktana can have Kiddushin at any age. Midrabanan, I mean, midoraita, her father can accept Kiddushin, because you don't need her dat, then it's being done by her father, and therefore there's no question about the Kiddushin. But when the Kiddushin involves her, which is a ktana, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says if she can't be shomer kesef Kiddushin, then she's certainly not old enough to be involved in a marriage. So there is, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, at least some minimum threshold above which she has to be of age before we institute Kiddushin midrabanan. The loch is like him. So Tana, Ktana, Shalom mi'ana, ve'amda, She didn't do miyun, v'amdam niseit, and then she goes ahead and marries someone else. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira amru, nisuea hein miuneha. The fact that you accepted nisuin from someone else, by definition, are a rejection of the first marriage. Part and parcel with the acceptance of the other marriage is the rejection of the first marriage. Ibaluhu, nitkadsha mahu. If she accepts kiddushin from someone else, is that a rejection? Is that enough of a rejection of the original marriage? Tashma, tanal shalom mi'ana ve'amda. She didn't do miyun, but then she goes ahead, nitkadsha, accepts kiddushin from another party. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira amru kiddusha hein mi'una. So we have it explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira believes both in the case of her accepting kiddushin from someone else or accepting nisuin from someone else, they function as the miyun itself. You could have no greater rejection of the current husband than the fact that she's willing to marry another party. If she wants to marry another party, that in it itself is the rejection of the original husband. Ibailo, plige rabbanon aleid Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira alo. Do the rabbanon argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? That's number one. Vimtim salomai plige. If you say they do argue, be kiddushin, or afilu minisuin. Do they only argue in kiddushin saying that's not enough of a rejection, but nisuin is clearly a rejection, or are both considered not to be a rejection? Vimtim salomai plige. If you say that they argue afilu minisuin, they argue in both cases that's not miun. Halacha kamoto, ein halacha kamoto. Is halacha like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? Is it not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? Vimtim salomar, and if you say halacha kimoto, if you say halacha is like him, binisuin, is that only true by nisuin, or afilo bikidu shin, or even by kidushin? So we want to know, here, in all these different permutations about whether the chachamim argue plus, who the halacha is like, what is the outcome of this scenario? The tashma, amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmo, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. We have a memra from Yehuda Meshmo that says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Halacha amichlau de plige. So first of all, for certain, if they say the halacha is like him, that means someone else argues. You don't need to say the halacha is like someone if they're the only opinion. If you say halacha is like them, that means that they argue, and it means that the Rabbonon argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. And both Rashi and Tosafot mention over here that it's clear to the Gemara when they say halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, it means in both cases. In both cases of Nisuin and Kiddushin, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, and there is a rejection of the original marriage, whether she does Kiddushin, or whether she does nisuin. But then you still have to ask, what was the state of her original marriage? Was she only had kiddushin with the original husband? And then when she goes and accepts kiddushin from someone else, that is considered to be meyun of the original kiddushin? Or if she has nisuin, now that's a rejection of the kiddushin? Or if she was fully married, she had nisuin with the first, can she now go accept from the second and produce meyon with the first one? Tashma. We have a proof here, which is not necessarily a proof. That's why it's somewhat of a question, which is, the kalote da Abdan was Abu Yudan. So these are the daughters-in-law of Dan. We bent into him. Kufayim would bet. He was Abu Yudan, who was the Talmid of Rabbi, who was his Talmid Mufak, who got into that altercation with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi when he was entering into the shir, and he said that he was doing it wrong. So that was Abdan, and over there, the Gemara says at that moment, when Rabbi told him he can't come back into the Beit Midrash, at that time it said his two sons drowned, and his two daughters-in-law performed Meyun. So here's the case. This was the case, the Kalatei to Abdan. So again, Tosafot over there says they changed his name to Abdan after the incident because somewhat of a negative name of Abdan being lost. So over here, they changed the name of Abba Yudan to this because of the incident, because of what took place. So it's these two, it's Kalatei to Abdan, Imrod. They rejected, meaning Imrod here, they rebelled. Rebelled means that they're rejecting their husbands. So they're rejecting his sons. Sharei Rabbi Zugei Durabon on the Mivtikinu. So Rabbi sent a pair of Chachamim to see if this is what they really meant, that they were really serious about the rejection of their husbands. So you see here, he's the Talmud Mufak of Rabbi, and Rabbi is intervening here on his behalf to see if this is really the case. Amar lo, Neshei, Chazu Gavraichu. He said, hey, young ladies, your husbands are on their way. They're coming over here. They said back to these Tamidei Chachamim, let them be your husbands. We're not interested in these guys. So it's clear here that they were not interested in their husbands and they were performing meyun with their husbands. There's no greater rejection than that to say that we're not interested in these guys. They could be your husbands. So where it says, my law of Davin is Siba. So now, what was the status of these daughters-in-law before the Meyun took place? That they were fully married, it sounds like. These were his daughters-in-law. It sounds like they were fully married. They only had Kiddushin. They hadn't reached the point of Nisuin. From this, we can't prove whether it was Kiddushin or Nisuin. Valocha, Kerab Yehuda ben Beteiro, Afilu ben Nisuin de Kama. And the Gemara just makes a statement. Despite the fact that we have no proof from this case, the Gemara makes a statement that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, and that's even if the first marriage is a marriage of Nisuin, it was a consummated marriage. Nevertheless, she can create Mayon by simply marrying another individual, by taking Kiddushin, accepting Kiddushin or Nisuin from another party, that will reject the original marriage. Alright, Rabbi Lazar Omer, so we have the next part of the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo, Chozrani al Kol Tzadei Chachamim, V'lo ma'atzati adam shehishva midotav b'ktana k'Rabbi Elazar. I went around all the positions of the Chachamim, and I didn't find anybody who was as consistent in his position with regards to k'tana like Rabbi Elazar. Sheasar Rabbi Elazar, kimitayelot imo b'chatzer. Rabbi Elazar makes the k'tana, the marriage to a k'tana, the equivalent of taking a walk in his courtyard with her. V'omedet micheko, then she gets up from being together with her husband, v'tovelet, goes to the mikveh. Then she goes back to her father's house and still allowed to eat truma, which is what Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah, that even if you have kedusha ketana here, those kedushim are not effective for a kohen to grant her truma. They're also not effective to disqualify her from the truma of her father's house. Well, based on that, what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says is, she could be in her husband's house, she could be together with her husband, then get walk away from that, go to the mikveh to be mitahara herself, then have nightfall come and eat truma in her father's house that night, because she's not married enough to disqualify her from the truma of her father's house. That's the scenario that's being painted here based on what Rabbi Lazar's position is. And then Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, Rabbi Lazar is very consistent. Why? Because Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, so here you have a question again about the girsa. Here we have Rabbi Lazar and the Braita. Our Mishnah says Rabbi Elazar in the Bach, and the Mishnah changes it to Rabbi Eliezer, based here obviously on the Braita that it's Rabbi Eliezer, to have them consistent. He says, Ein masik tana klum. The actions of a ktana are meaningless. Vein ba'la zakai lo b'mitziata, v'lo b'masei ada, v'lo hafarat nidara. Her so-called husband has no rights here. He cannot keep her aveda when she finds it. He does not get her output. Whatever work she does, he's not entitled to it. And he cannot nullify her vows. Ve'eno yosha. And he doesn't inherit her. Ve'en mitamilav. He's a kohen. He can't become tamei to take care of her. Basically, Rabbi Eliezer is extremely consistent, which is that nothing applies here. There's no real marriage here. Nothing happened. Midrabanan, we look at it as if there was some sort of union between them, but that she has no rights of a regular marriage. There's nothing that took place here because masek tana klum. The action of a minor has no bearing. Klolo shel davar, eina ki ishto l'chol davar. She is not his wife for anything. Ella, shetzricha meyon. She has to do meyon. In order to dissolve this sort of union or togetherness, she has to perform meyon. But besides from that, there's nothing that makes them husband and wife except for the fact that they're living together. But there's no formality to that because none of the laws or general principles of marriage apply to them. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, so Rabbi Yoshua argues on him, says, Balo zakai mimitziata. No, this marriage is good enough that her husband can get her mitziah if she finds an aveda that belongs to her husband. Ube masei yadea, her output, he's entitled to. Ube hafarat nidara, and he's allowed to nullify her vows. So Rashi explains over here, how is this possible? The Rabbonon afkaru agabe. The Rabbanan were mafkir because of hefkir, beit din hefkir. They basically took her monetary possessions and granted them to the husband. V'yosha, and he inherits her. Umitamela, and he has a kohen, he becomes tamei to her. Whoa, that's very extreme because look, the other items you can argue after a beit din hefkir, we're talking about monetary matters. In monetary matters, the beit din can intervene and take away property from one person and grant it to the other. And that's what they're doing. They're taking her property and granting it to the husband, or to her husband. But mitame law is an iser d'oraita for a kohen to become tamei for someone who's not a relative. She's not his relative. She's not his wife. Minatorah. It's only midrabanan. This we saw early in the Masechta. The answer is, Rashi quotes it from earlier in the Masechta, since he inherits her, she becomes like a make mitzvah. Since he inherits her, her family won't necessarily deal with the funeral. Because they say, look, he's getting all the money, he's getting everything here, and we have to pay for the funeral, it doesn't make sense. So the fact that he has, gets her Yerusha makes her like a mate mitzvah. So there we have to expand our understanding what a mate mitzvah was. A mate mitzvah is not simply somebody you find out in the field that nobody's bearing, but rather someone who doesn't have people who would naturally take responsibility for them. Over here, nobody's going to take responsibility for her because she's already considered to be checked out of her family because he's the one who's going to inherit her. Based on that, she has a status like a mate mitzvah, and therefore you can be a mitame law because she has that status like a mate mitzvah. So that's the heter here, to be mitame law, not because she's his wife, but because she is a mate mitzvah. So klal osho davar, what's the principle according to Rabbi Yeshua? Harit ishto luchol davar, that she is his wife completely. Ella, she yotza b'meyon. There's a kula that she doesn't need a get to dissolve this marriage, simply meyon will dissolve it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a chumrah. The chumrah is that she needs meyon, because basically she's not his wife. So why, she needs meyon to dissolve it. So that's a chumrah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says she's his wife fully, and the kula is that meyon dissolves the marriage. So Amar Rabbi, nirin divrei Rabbi Eliezer, mi divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer makes more sense, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, hishva midota biktana. Rabbi Eliezer is completely consistent with the ktana, that she has no abilities here to make a kinyan or to engender a marriage, and therefore there's no relationship between them. Rabbi Yeshua, chilek. But Rabbi Yeshua has some like this, some like that. My chilek. Where does Rabbi Yeshua say anything different than Rabbi Eliezer? All Rabbi Yeshua says is the exact opposite of Rabbi Eliezer. They are a contrast to each other. Rabbi Eliezer says no in all the cases, and Rabbi Yeshua says yes in all the cases. So why is there an inconsistency in the position of Rabbi Yeshua that there isn't in the position of Rabbi Eliezer? Where it says, I ishtohi, because if Rabbi Yeshua is right that she's fully his wife, tibai get. She require a get, not meyun. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer nami. According to Rabbi Eliezer, ilav ishtohi, which is what Rabbi Eliezer basically says, she's not his wife, meyun nami lo tibai. Then why does she need meyun at all? She's not married to him. So the Gemara's answer to this is, ela bichti tebuk. What, she should go out without anything? She should just walk away? So that's the Gemara's problem with this, is that when she gets older, right, if she stays married to this individual, once she reaches of age, then there's a full consummation of the marriage, midoraita, and she'll need a get to unwind this. So if she stayed with us, then she'll need a get to unwind it. So now, where we don't consider it to be a real marriage at all, what, she should just walk away? We have to have some formality to it.
Said that she can just go marry somebody else.
But that's a rejection. The rejection over here is either a verbal rejection, or it's an activity that shows or implies the verbal rejection. So, but meyun is more than simply just dissolving the marriage without anything. So here they said, the Gemara says it would be unconscionable to allow her to dissolve the marriage without any sort of formal concept of meyun, because if she stays married for a little longer, she's going to need a get. But that's not an inconsistency in Rabbi Lezer's opinion. That's just a way to clarify for us that there's some sort of dissolution here, but not because there's any inconsistency in the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so now the Gemara continues here with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's position in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in the Mishnah made a cryptic statement and said, any time that the akava, that the problem is because of the husband, then she is ki'ishto. If the problem is not because of the husband, then she's not his wife. So echidami akava shehi mina'ish. Vakava she'ena mina'ish. When is there some sort of hold back, we'll call it, or some sort of reticence because of the husband, and sometimes there's not reticence because of the husband. Amri Yehuda Meshmol, Tavua Ali Nasei. Someone came and proposed a marriage to her. V'amra, Machmat Ploni Bali, she says, I can't get married. This is my husband over here. I can't get married to you. So Zohi Akavashi Minayish. That's a rejection because of her husband, meaning that basically upholds the marriage that she's in, because she's not rejecting it. She's saying, I can't marry you, I'm already married. Machmat b'nei adam she'inam nehu ganim li. If she says, the reason I can't get married to these individuals in this proposed marriage is because they're beneath my dignity. They're not my stature, they're not my type. Zoya kava she'inam nehish. She didn't reject the marriage because she's married. She rejected the marriage because it wasn't an appropriate marriage for her, implying that if they brought her somebody that would have been a good shidduch, she would have accepted that. And that, implicit in that, is a rejection of her first marriage. So, Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Da'amrei Tarvayhu, they both say, not on la get, Zoya kava minaish. If he gives her a get, that is a rejection from the husband's eyes. Bu asur bikrovotea, bi asura bikrovav. Because the marriage was dissolved through a get, therefore it looks like it was a real marriage, because get only needs to be used when you're dissolving a real marriage. So if he utilizes a get to dissolve the marriage, I mean, the husband is the initiator of the dissolution of the marriage, then it looks like a real marriage, and they remain asurim. Like in a real marriage, you'll be asur in the relatives of the two parties. Upasla min akuna. And that would also make her psul min akuna, because a get was involved here. Even though the get is only midrabanan, at least in terms of reach a get, there's clearly reach a get here, and she can't marry the kuna anymore. Mianabo. On the other hand, if the rejection comes from her side, which is Zoe Akava Sheina Minaish, this is a rejection that's not from the husband, because she's the one doing the rejecting. Then, Bahu Mutar Bikrovotah. Then he is Mutar in her relatives, Vi Mutar Bikrovav. Then she's Mutarit in his relatives, Lo Pasla Minakuna. Because here the dissolution was done by her through Mayun instead of a get. So when it's done by Mayun, we saw before that that's basically an Akira Lamafreya, a retroactive unwinding of the marriage. If that's the case, no get. So no problem of psula minakuna. And number two is no erva here, because they were never married in a sense. Or even if it happened, it was only znut. And znut does not create erva. The only thing that creates erva is marriage. So here you don't have a marriage anymore. So where it says, haktani lekaman, don't we say further on, I'm a ma'anet be'ish, a woman who rejects a man, hu mutar bikrovotav, vi mutar bikrovav. Below pasla minakuna, natan la get, hu asur bikrovotav, vi asur bikrovav, pasla minakuna. So don't we have that explicitly in the upcoming Mishnah? Where it says, perushei kamefarish. That's basically right. This upcoming Mishnah, which then, if you connect the two Mishnayot, remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the last statement in the previous Mishnah, and this is going to be the beginning statement of the subsequent Mishnah, the Mishnah we're about to do. This beginning of the next Mishnah is really defining what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said. It's not a separate statement. It is the definition of what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, and that's what they are suggesting. So you have two suggestions as to what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said. One is that her rejection of a proposal of marriage will depend on why she rejects it. If she rejects it because she's married, then that's not deemed to be mayun. And then if she rejects it because it's inappropriate marriage for her, implying that had they brought her somebody appropriate, she would have married them, that that's an implicit rejection of her original marriage, and that's considered to be mayun. That's one way to explain it. The second way to explain it is the methodology of dissolution makes a difference. If it's from the husband, which means he used a get, then their marriage was a full marriage, midrabanan, but has all the trappings of a full marriage. The dissolution came from her, which is that she performed mayun or said something that rejected the husband, then that's a dissolution that unwinds the marriage completely, as if there was no marriage, and therefore it'll have no trappings of the marriage. So those are two ways to explain Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. All right, so now Tosafot asks a very basic question. He says, based on our Gemara over here, the way that we're explaining the circumstance over here, then we're saying that even when she is considering other proposals of marriage, that is a sufficient rejection of her present marriage. That's called mayun. So then why did the Gemara have all these questions, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, before? If she gets married, if she has kiddushin, if she has nisuin, that's a rejection of her original marriage. Here, even a proposal of marriage that she doesn't reject outright because of her husband, that's considered to be mayun. Of course, the other cases are cases of mayun. So Tosafot says, I don't understand the whole Gemara beforehand. Therefore, Tosafot reads this Gemara completely differently. And he says, Yesh lamar, dahacha lo ari b'mayun. The case here is not a question of this is mayun or not. Ela biktana shenisei chelo ledata koi. It's a case where her mother and brother married her off without her agreeing to the marriage. So now, what is considered to be shelo midata versus midata? So if all of a sudden someone comes to her with a new proposal of marriage, and her brother and mother had married her off to this individual, if they come with a new proposal of marriage and she says, listen, I can't do that, I'm already married, that is an acquiescence, a validation of the original marriage of the brother and the mother, and then it becomes ledata. So then it becomes that she concedes there was a marriage here. The other hand, if she rejects the proposal of marriage because these aren't good shidduch for me, but if you brought me a better shidduch, I would accept it, that's an implicit rejection of her brother and mother's marriage for her, and therefore it'll still be considered shalom midata. And it won't take effect, because we said that the marriage, dirabanan, requires the agreement of the parties here. The parties meaning that the mother and the brother, but also the ktana. She has to agree to the marriage, and without her agreement to the marriage, it won't go through. And so Tosafot says, our Gemara is not discussing the question of mayun, it's discussing a separate issue, which is, When is it considered to be Lidato? When is it considered to be Shalomidato? And that's the explanation here of this Gemara, so therefore it doesn't present a problem for the previous Gemara, which is, if this is Mayon, certainly the cases that we discussed before were definitely Mayon. Alright, this is the Mishnah that we just quoted, that the Gemara said, why do we need that explanation of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? It's the next Mishnah. The answer was that is explaining Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's position, which is that if she performs Mayun, then the Krovim are all Mutarim, because there was no marriage here. And there is no Psula mina kuna, because she unwound the marriage retroactively. Not unlike Get, on the other hand, if he gives her a Get, who asur b'krovotav, he asur b'krovav, even though this is only a Get midrabanan, it creates the trappings of a real marriage, because he used a Get, and therefore Erva applies to all the relatives, upasla mina kuna, and this is a Reach Get that's going to knock her out of the kuna. Not unlike Get. So now here we're getting a little more complex situations, and this gets to your question of, can you get unwind the Get here, can't she marry a Kohen? So not unlike Get, v'chzira. He gave her a Get, and he took her back. So he divorced her, and then he took his divorcee back. He remarried her. But then in the second marriage, mianabo, she rejected him. She walked away, she performed mayun. So the first marriage was dissolved through a Get, but then they got married again. He took back his divorcee, and then she rejects the marriage by performing mayun. V'niseit le'acher. Then she goes ahead and marries a third party. V'nit armala onit garsha. She was either widowed or divorced from this new marriage. Muteret lakzordo. She can go back to the original husband. Now, normally in a situation where you have a get, that's a problem of machzir grushato, the returning of someone who was a grusha. Over here, we're going to allow her to go back to the original husband, despite the fact that she married another party in the interim, even though she married someone else. Why? Because what happened here was, there was a get. Then you had a miyun. What is happening here is that the second miyun basically undermines the first get. Because what the miyun shows is that she's really a ktana. That's evidence of the fact that she's a ktana. If you have evidence that she's a ktana, everybody knows that the first get really wasn't a get. So if the first get wasn't a get, then he's not really machzir grushato, because she really wasn't a grusha. The miyun being the final stage here between her and this original husband shows you that that marriage was dissolved through Mayun, and that their entire marriage was why she was a ktana. Even the first get was a get of a ktana and doesn't really have bearing. So that's why he's allowed to take her back after the marriage. But if this was the sequence of events, mianabo, first time around, she rejected him, and that's how they dissolved the marriage, v'chzira, and then he takes her back, not on a get. Then he gives her a get to dissolve the second time their marriage is dissolved through a get, v'nisei d'acher. Then she marries another party, v'nit armela o'nit garsha, and she's widowed or divorced. Asura lachzordo. There she cannot return to him, because there the get is the second dissolution of the marriage. Over there we don't know. The get could have been, you could argue that she did mayun when she was a ktana. But now she's already a gdola, and therefore she has a get. It's not clear now that she's definitely a ktana at the time that the get happened. She might be. By the way, we might be fully a ktana. But to the outside world, the optics here look like the final part of the marriage was dissolved through a get, and it looks like machzir grushato, and therefore we're not going to allow it to happen. Zeklal, this is the principle. Get achar miyun asura lachzorlo. If the get comes after mayun, then the get basically undermines the mayun, which is saying that the mayun, okay, that was old. Now we're dealing with the get. Get is the final stage. It supersedes the mayun, and therefore you can't go back. It's machzir grushato. On the other hand, mayun achar get, muteret lachzorlo. If the mayun was the second dissolution after the get, then muteret lachzorlo, then for sure she can go back, because mayun evidenced the fact that she's still a ktana. She's still a ktana, then that basically wipes out the original get. Now, Hamamanet be'ish, person who rejects a husband, v'niseit l'acher, and then she goes marries another party, v'girsha. Then a second husband divorces her. L'acher, she marries a third time, u'mianabo. And then she has mayun with him. L'acher, then she marries a fourth party, v'girsha, and divorces. So here you have two parties. One and three, the marriage was ended by her through mayun. Two and four, the marriage was ended by her husband through Gerushin. Zeakal. Kol she'otzei amena beget. All those marriages that were dissolved through a get, asura lachzorlo. There you can't go back. B'meyun, all those marriages that were dissolved through meyun, she can go back to them, because that's not machzir grushato. because they only dissolve the marriage through Mayun. But the ones that dissolve the marriage through Get, they cannot take her back because it's Machzir Grushato. Yeah, with regards to Erva, that's like the first line in the Mishnah, which is that Get will create Erva and Mayun will not create Erva. But what the Gemara is going to ask on this is very clear, which is that when he had a Get to his first marriage, and then he married her again and had Mayun, the Mayun was powerful enough to undermine the Get. Mayun showed she was a Ketana, and therefore the Get wasn't a real Get. In this case, when she performs Mayun with number 3, why doesn't that undermine the Get of number 2? Because number 2 got divorced from her with a Get. But if she already performs Mayun with number 3, that shows that she's a Ketana still. If she's still a Ketana, then that should reflect back on the Get of number 2. Why is it only when he is the party to both, the Get and the Mayun, do we say the Mayun undermines the Get? But we don't say that in the case where the Mayun is a third party, and that doesn't undermine the Get. Why is there a difference here? Where it says, Almo, from our Mishnah, you see, Ata Mayun, Umavatel Get. The first part of our Mishnah says, and that's the Zaklal, that Mayun can come and undermine the Get. It's as if the Get didn't exist at all. Viramini, the second half of our Mishnah, Hamamenet Be'ish, V'niseit La'acher. She rejects the first marriage, then she marries a second husband, Begirsha, and he divorces her. La'acher to a third party, Umiyanabo, and she rejects him. La'acher to a fourth husband, Begirsha, and he divorces her. Zaklal, Kol yatzat v'imenu beget, that's the last part of our mission. Anybody whose marriage is dissolved through a get, asura lakzorlo, can't go back. Mayon, muter lakzorlo. Alma, lo ate mayon techavre ubato gita dide. You see from here that the mayon of his friend does not take away the get of the other husband. Even though we have evidence of the fact that Shiktanai should make everything into a zero. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol, Tavra, Mishashanazu, lo shanazu. The Mishnah is compiled of two different positions, two different Tanaim. The first half of the Mishnah is authored by one Tano, and the second half of the Mishnah is authored by a different Tano, and they argue. Amarova, umay kushya. Why is this a problem? V'dilma mayun didei, mevato get didei. His own mayun, or meaning that when she rejects him and performs mayun with him, that can take away or erase the get that he gave before. Mayun techavre lo mevato gita didei. But mayun with his friend will not wipe out his get. Mar says, umay shna. What's the difference? If the whole thing here is optics, and the optics are that she did Mayun with someone, that means she's still a Ketana. If she's a Ketana, then that should retroactively wipe out all the Gitin beforehand, because it's clear that that get was with a Ketana. That doesn't have real tokef. Where it says, the ID to Makeritz, Birim Zotav, Vikrit Zotav, Azal Mishabosh, Shumaitila. Because she knows his hints and his winks, he will cause her to go ahead and perform Mayun. So what we're afraid of over here is that if we allow her to return to the husband who she got a divorce from, then what's she going to do? The husband divorced her. Now she's off married to another party. The husband's basically going to start winking and hinting at her that he wants her back. So what's she going to do? She's going to perform Mayun. And that's going to allow her now to go back to that husband that divorced her. So therefore we say we don't allow the one who divorced her to have his friend's Mayun permit her to return, because now he has no incentive to dissolve the second marriage, because even if he dissolves the marriage, she can't go back to him. So what we're doing is taking away that incentive for him to dissolve the second marriage, because he can't get her back. It's not going to help him to dissolve the second marriage. So now why don't you ask me the same thing by the case of the person who had Mayun with her, meaning that if where he performs Mayun and then she gets married to another party, how come he can take her back, the one who performed Mayun? Maybe he'll do the same thing. He'll go to the next party and try to convince her to do Mayun with that party, and then she'll come back to him. The answer is, it's the difference of what happened here. This goes back to what Fred asked earlier, which is, there's a difference between a get and Mayun. Who initiates the get? The initiation of the get is from the husband. So when he divorces her with the get, it's very likely that she still wanted the marriage. And she was given the get val korcha. So he divorced her, but she still loved her husband. But he said, out, I don't want you anymore, get, gone. So then when he goes after, when she goes after to marries another party, and he starts to come back to her and say, yeah, why don't you come back to me? Just do Mayun with this guy and come back to me. She very well may be willing to do it, because she was thrown out of the marriage. She didn't necessarily want to leave the first marriage. She still loved him. On the other hand, if there was Mayun performed, who was the initiator of Mayun? The woman herself. So when she rejected him, it came from her. So what now? She went off and married someone else. She's not going to listen to this guy to come back to him, the original husband. For sure, as Rashi says, Tosfos also says this, he already tried to keep her. The fact that she before Mayon went there, I'm sure before she before Mayon, he tried to convince her, don't do this, and she still rejected it. The fact that she rejected his overtures originally means that later on, it's not going to become any better. She's not going to want to go back to him later on, and therefore we don't worry about it. So that's the difference between the one who has a get. A get is initiated by the husband, therefore we worry about him trying to convince her to come back to him and perform Mayon with the next husband. On the other hand, if the rejection was from her side, Mayon was performed, we don't worry about him then going to the next state, where she goes to the next stage and gets married again, that he's going to convince her to come back to him. He could have convinced her to stay with him when she was married to him. She's not going to convince her now to reject another husband and come to him. So we don't worry about it in that case, and that's the difference here between whether you had a get or Mayon be the dissolving factor in the marriage. So now the Gemara says, Mayon didei, nami lo levatel gita didei. If that's the case, then why should his Mayon dissolve his own get? I mean that if he marries her twice, divorced her, took her back, and then had a Mayon. The idei, the makeret b'rmizo tav v'kvitzo tav, also mishabush. Because the same thing can happen again, which is, now she knows his secrets, and therefore when she goes and marries his other husband, he can convince her to dissolve the second marriage and come back to him. Umayti lo, and then he'll convince her to come back to him. Mar says, Hakvar shabsho. What do you mean? She already performed Mayun. She already rejected him. Hakvar shabsho, lo. Either Girsa is ishabsho, or according to Rashi, ishtabsho. Meaning that he already did convince her to stay, and she didn't stay. This is what I just described before, which is that she was married to him, he divorced her. He took her back a second time. They're already on their second marriage. And in their second marriage, she rejects it. Now she goes and marries another party. If she wanted to stay with him, he could have been able to convince her to come back at that point in time. The fact that he couldn't convince her to come back, now he's gonna convince her to dissolve another marriage and come back to him? Unlikely. So since she already rejected him and he had his chance to appease her, that didn't go through. Since he didn't appease her, then we're not gonna worry about him then going and trying to get someone else's marriage dissolved for her to come back. Or it says, ilik kasha, dechavriya dechavri kasha. If you have a question now, a stira, this is the stira that you should be asking, and that's the case of chavri dechavri. Miana bo, if she rejected him, vichzira, and then took him back, v'natan la get, and then he gives her a get, v'niseit acher, and then she marries a third party, v'nit armala or nit garsha, she was either widowed or divorced from him, achzura lachzorlo, she can't go back to the original husband. Taima dinit armala or nit garsha, the reason she can't go back to the original husband is because the second marriage ended, either as her being a widow, or through divorce. Ha miyano, had the second marriage ended with the mayun, muteret lakzorlo, she could have gone back to the original husband. So the original husband had mayun, then get. Then we say, asur lakzorlo, she goes and marries another party. If that marriage ends either because she was widowed or because she was divorced, she can't go back because that's machzir grushato. On the other hand, if she dissolves the second marriage through mayun, it's as if the second marriage never existed. It's as if she had znot after a divorce. So note that after a divorce does not disqualify her from going back to her original husband. So therefore there's no problem. That's the diuk out of the middle section of the Mishnah. Alma, ati meyun dechavrei umavato gita didei. That shows you that the meyun of the second husband unwinds the get of the first husband. Viramini, what about the latter half of the Mishnah? The last section of the Mishnah says, hamamenet beish miniseit lacher vigirsha. Lacher umiyana bo. Over there we said, anybody divorced with a get can't come back to, she can't come back to. Anybody where dissolution was done through Mayon, she can return to him. So what do you see from there? You see from there that the Mayon only helps the individuals that had Mayon. Doesn't help those that had a get. So over here, the Mayon of his friend does not unwind the get of the other party. You see that his friend's Mayon doesn't help him over here. So here you have two parts of the Mishnah showing you two different pieces of information. One showing that Mayon unwinds the other party's get. One showing that Mayon does not unwind the other party's get. You're right. There's attribution of authorship here is different. That middle section is authored by a different Tana than from the latter section, and they disagree about this issue. Ulamar, no, that it's not that way. It's a case where she's already had three gitin. If she already got divorced three times, she already has a chazaka as a gdola. Because who needs a get? A gdola needs a get. Who can perform mayon ektana? If she already has three gitin, she already looks like a gdola. There's too many gitin here. She already has a chazaka with a get. And since he has a chazakah with a get, she's deemed to be a gdola, and she can no longer go back. What's interesting here, and you see here that Rabbi Kiva Eger already comments on it, is that our Mishnah only has two stages. Our Mishnah had get, meyun, get, meyun. So that's only two cases of get, not three cases of get. Here, Ula is saying, oh yeah, it's a case where she had three gitin. So Rabbi Kiva Eger brings from the Tshuvat HaBach, that says that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi. Rabbi believes that chazakah is established after two times. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that his chazakah is established after three times. So Rabbi Lushitato in the Mishnah only says two. But Rabbi Ullah is passing like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is the way we passkin, that chazakah is established after three, and that's why he requires three. So Gemara says, Mantana. Who's the one who said before, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu? Who's the one who says that? Samar Yudam Rav, Maidichtib, what is meant by the Pasuk in Echa, Memenu, Bekesem Shatinu? We drank our own water, by paying for it. It's Seinu B'Mechir, Yavu. And we have to get our own firewood we have to pay for. I mean, the enemy comes, took all our possessions and things that belonged to us, we were paying for. Shebashat Sakana. That was at the time when Torah was outlawed. Yitbashka Nikbaksha Halachazu. They wanted to know what the halacha was in this situation. Hareshi Yatzami Rishon Beget, Umisheni B'Meyun. The first one released her through a get, divorced her through a get, and the second one, the marriage was dissolved through Meyun. Mahu Shetakzor L'Rishon. Can she go back to the original husband? Sachru Adam Echad. They hired a messenger, Ba'arba Meyot Zuz, for 400 Zuz, an exorbitant amount of money, because he was risking his life to go do this, so therefore they had to pay him a fee for his risking his life. B'shalu at Rabbi Akiva Beit Asirin. The messenger went to the prison to speak to Rabbi Akiva, who was imprisoned because he was teaching Torah. Vasar, and he said Asur. Et Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira ben Nitzivin. They went to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira ben Nitzivin. Vasar, and he also said Asur. Amar Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Yossi, Luzulo, Itzrachnu. He didn't need to pay all that money. The Isur Karei, Tartarta, the Isur Lav, Lo Kol Shekein. If you were willing to allow an Isur Karei to go by the wayside, why do you worry about an Isur Lav? Because over here, the Meyun dissolves a marriage. Marriage is an Isur of Karet. I mean, it's Eshet Ish. So you say Meyun is effective at dissolving a marriage, which would be a condition of Eshet Ish, which is Karet. Now, obviously, that's only on the Doraita. Over here, we're talking about Durabanan. But that would be Karet. Now, you're wondering whether she can go back to her original husband, which would be an Isur Lav of Machzir Gerushato. Again, it's all Durabanan here because we're dealing with the Ketana. But so, if you think Meyun is powerful enough to get rid of the problem of Eshet Ish, it certainly should be powerful enough to allow her to return to her original husband and not be in violation of Machzir Gerushato. So that's what Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yossi says. The question's not a good question. That cannot be the question they ask, because the answer to that question is pretty straightforward. It's very easy to understand that. Tosafot does question this, although he doesn't really give, he gives one alternative, but he rejects that. But he says the two aren't alike. Machzir Gerushato and Eshet Ish are two different issues. Because even in a normal situation where divorce would dissolve the Eshet Ish problem, it doesn't allow him to go back to Machzir Grushato. It doesn't allow him to go back to his original. So if a person divorces a woman and then she marries another party and gets a divorce from them, the Isur of Eshet Ish is gone. But she still can't go back to the original husband. So the two aren't connected at all. So why would you think that they're connected over here? Tosafot leaves it as a tzarachiyun over here, but it's not obvious just because Eshet Ish is out of the picture that Machzir Grushato should automatically be out of the picture. But nevertheless, he says, Baram Kachshalu. This is the question that they proposed, which is, Hare Shaita Eshet Achi Imo, Shishnialo. She was the wife to Eshet Achi Imo. She was an aunt through marriage, but on the mother's side, which is a Shniali Arayot. Since it's through the mother's side, it's all Durabanan, it's not Doraita. V'nasa Achiv Me'aviv. And after that marriage, she goes in and marries his brother through a common father, meaning that she's setting up for a Yibum issue. Umate. And then that brother dies. Ma'u shetima ein hashto. V'takrino nisuin kamai. Can she go ahead and perform miyun now and dissolve the original marriage? The original marriage means the one married to his aunt through his mother's side. His aunt through his mother's side. Can she now go ahead and perform miyun? Why would she want to do that? Because if she does that, then she's available for this brother. Because without that, she's an erva to him. She's an erva, then she can only perform chalitza na'ibum because it's an erva midrabanan. If, on the other hand, we say she can dissolve the original marriage, then the dissolution of the original marriage will make her muteret now to have yibum. So the Gemara says, can she dissolve the original marriage, which is long gone now, and the tityabim, and perform miyun? Yesh miyun nachar mita b'makom mitzvah lo. Do we allow miyun to be performed even after the death of the husband? Can she unwind the original kedushin retroactively even after her husband is deceased? Of course, the Gemara qualifies as a b'makom mitzvah. Obviously, it's only here because we want her to perform yibum, and therefore there's a reason to do that. So, sachru shnei bnei adam, they hire two people, Barbara Meo Zuz, 400 Zuz, who bow b'shaldo at Rabbi Akiva beit asurim vasar. He says, no way, you can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteir ben Itzivin vasar. So here you have two Tanaim saying that it's a sur, that there is no meyun after death. Amar Yitzhak bar Ishian umode rav, shumuteret lachiv shozeh shenesra alav. So then Rabbi Yitzhak bar Ishian says that Rav agrees that she is mutar to this brother, shenesra alav, to the one that was problematic for him. So Gemara says, pshita, who knew you de mikart, b'rimizotav, v'kritzotav? Because the meyun here, and this is what we said before, that in the case where you have a rejection, a meyun by one party, and then a get by the other party, the bala get, we don't allow them to go back. We don't allow the meyun to allow you to go back to the bala get. Why? The Gemara said, because meyun techavre can't work over here, because we're afraid that he's going to try to convince this woman to get meyun with the second husband in order to bring her back to him within the ezeget. Rav Yitzchak bar Ishian says that Rav's position here, that it's a sur, based on the first section over here, that section where Rav said this was the question they presented to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that question was answered that no, can't go back to a divorcee. So what they say here is that only the individual who performed the get or the gitin has that problem. But his brother can marry this woman. Which means that it's a little quirky here, because how can she marry his brother? We said if he gives a get, she's a sur b'krov lotav. So he said the meyun of the friend basically unwinds the get. It unwinds it enough that she can marry his relatives. It does not unwind it enough that she can go back to him. Because with him, we have suspicions that he's going to try to convince her to come back. But with the relatives, it's good enough. The meyun of his friend is good enough to dissolve the get and say that all the relatives are mutarim. And that's what the Gemara says here. So the Gemara says, Pshita, who niyo de mekaret birimi zotav u bikrit zotav? Avachiv lo, but his brother not. Maudu tema ligzor hai atu hai. No, maybe we should be gozer him because of the other one. Kamash malan, that we don't. Vika de amre, amre rabbi Yitzchak bar Ishian, kashem shasura lo, kach asura lachin. Just like she's a surah to him, so should she be a surah to the brothers. She has no relationship with these brothers, so why should they be able to convince her to dissolve the second marriage? They should be mutarim. But it says, Zerav Achiv Atuhu. That is exactly what it is. It's Zerahu Atuhu. So now, what is the Machloket Tanaim over here that we're looking for? So Rashi says over here, the Machloket Tanaim over here is, Tanai de Kamar, Hainu Rav, Verabi Shmuel. The Machloket here is between Rav, because Rav is Tanahu pulling sometimes. So Rav says in the case of get, and then meyun by another party, does not unwind the original get. That's Rav's position. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said over here, what do you mean? If it can unwind the Eshadish, it certainly can unwind the get, the Machzir Grushato. So there's the Machloket Tanaim. One Tana says the meyun of his friend can unwind the original get. That is Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Rav says that the meyun of his friend cannot unwind the get. And that's what, when we said Tavish Zu, Shalosh Shana Zu, our Mishnah has different attributions. One attribution is Rav, and one is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and that's why you have two conclusions in Mishnah. One case where Meyon undermines get, one case where Meyon does not undermine get, and those are the two authors. Then the Gemara had that sidebar at the end, which is, even according to Rav, who says that it's not good enough, the Meyon of his friend's not good enough to unwind the get, that's only for him himself, not for the relatives. For the relatives, it is good enough. And then we had a second Lashon that says, even for the relatives, it's not good enough. And we're going to stop here at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chet Amud Bet.